is a heavy and vulnerable conversation to have. This platform is a safe place for all individuals to come share their life's journeys of surviving grief without judgment.
I'd like to welcome everyone to the QT Surviving Grief Podcast. I'm Tiffany Ware. I'm the host, and I have a very special guest with me today. I met this young lady when I was probably about 7 years old, and we both had the passion of basketball, and we played for the City of Columbia City League, and her father was our coach, and he did not play with us at all. But it was a really good time, and I got to know her then. We were just kids. But over time, I got to know her in a whole nother way through her brother, Quentin. And so I would like to introduce to some and present to others, Janae Armstrong.
Hey. Hi, Tara.
Howdy. Thank you for being on today. I really appreciate you accepting this invitation.
No problem at all. I wouldn't have told you no.
So I'm going to start this off. I got an icebreaker, and this is something that you're not expecting, but I just want to start it off light because I know we may get into some heavy things during this conversation. So if you could be a soup, what type of soup would you be?
If I could be a soup.
Potato soup.
A soup. Baby.
And why? And why?
And why? I'm going to be honest with you. If I had to be a soup,
okay.
I actually would want to be a representation of what the Bible talks about, the full armor of God and its fullness.
Okay.
And why I choose that is because it definitely protects. It covers, it heals, it restores, and it also makes you feel good because you got peace, you got love, you got joy, you got all the things of God that comes with it. If we're talking on a spiritual level, that's the suit that I would pick. But if I had to go with natural, what kind of suit I would wear, I would definitely, I would give me something very vibrant, very lively, fitted. For a tall lady like me. Yes. To show my personality. To show my real identity of who I am.
I like that. I actually like how you changed the question and even related it to the Bible. And like you said, all those things is something we have to embody. So I like that you shifted the perspective. And that's why I like asking questions like that, because my interpretation is not always the same as everybody else. So thank you for indulging me in that moment. That is true. That is so true. Well, so we're going to start our conversation, Janae. So one of my questions I like starting with, or I'm going to be starting with, is do you remember the first time you ever experienced grief or loss? Like ever, like your first time experiencing that in your life?
So my very first time that I can actually remember was my grandmother, which was my grandmother, Christine Nicholson Armstrong. I was a little girl. I might have been like 7 when she passed away. I remember vividly her being sick and me asking to go to the hospital to see her. And we would go, and I remember the particular day I begged my mother to take me to go see her. I had on a black and white little checkered dress. And that was my grandmother. And that's the first encounter as a 7-year-old that I can say I experienced a loss that I can actually remember. Actually going through the grief process, though, I was 18 years old, 19 years old when I lost my grandfather, my mother's father, Russell. And that's when I can actually remember and call, like, truly, like, recognizing, like, I'm grieving.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think for me, same. It was about 7 years old, so that's like my first memory of losing somebody. So bringing it up to present day, I know you've experienced a lot of grief over the past several years, more recently in May, but I know we are currently going through a lot. And like I said, over the years, you've experienced a lot. So I just want to open up the floor for you, for whoever you want to talk about, whatever your story is, for you to share that at this time.
Well, Tiffany, first off, let's go back. I want to tell you thank you for allowing me to, it's saying that I'm reconnecting. I don't know what's going on, but can you hear me?
I can. Yeah, it was fuzzy for a moment, but I can hear you now.
Okay. I want to say you thank you for even asking me. And I want to tell you thank you for loving my brother, for even doing this in honor of him. And I want to tell you thank you for being a strong woman, stronger than what you think sometimes, or even because it takes a lot for one that's grieving to continue to press forward. To try to do something like this, you get what I'm saying? Because you open up wounds, and you allow yourself access to be exposed. So I want to tell you thank you and how proud I am of you through this process and this journey.
Thank you.
Some people may know, some people might not know. I have experienced a great amount of loss, significantly throughout my years of life, but very, very significant, since 2018. I have taken, loss, to people who are very close to me. You're talking about my inner circle. These are people that I spoke with daily, their input on my life or their connection in my life was very valuable to Janae and to who I am as a woman. Even, you know, childhood experiences, these people were very close to me. 2018, I lost my fiance, who is my son's father, who actually had Lou Gehrig's disease. So that was something that was a loss that we knew was going to come, but even when you know it's coming, you're not ready for. And so, I lost him in 2018, 2019, the Lord kind of gave me a break. some stuff was like shifted. I was able to see a different aspect of transition in my life. In 2020, January 1st, I lost my best friend to cancer, who was, as she transitioned, she was holding my hand. That hit different. I had to be strong. So times that I grieved, it was different. It was a very different experience. And then 2021, my grandmother, who raised me, that was mama, that was Nanny, my sugar plum, that was my baby. I lost her. I also had, a few people that I hung around that same year that passed as well. They weren't in my everyday circle, but I grew up with them. And so that was a tall, you know, young age people, you know, passing as well. 2022, I lost my sister, my baby sister, just due to sickness, but one that we were not known of, not aware of. Neither was she aware. In 2023, my daughter lost her father. which was a pivotal moment. Still grieving, being a grieving mother, now having a daughter that has not lost one father, but actually lost another. And then this year, some may know, some might not know, QT Surviving Grief is part of the reason why we're here. Is I lost my brother, whom I was very close with, May 3rd of this year. And so, yes, I have taken some hits, and some would look and be like, oh Lord, she got all this around her, but how? But yes, that has been my experience of grief, just within these last 6 years, 6-7 years. And it's been a toll, and it's been back to back. And I've asked God to strengthen me, and I was open up enough to tell, I can't take another hit. I can't take another hit. So that's my experience of now.
I understand completely. That's a lot. That's a lot. So you've experienced from like long-term illness to sudden death. Did you find that one was harder than the other, or being that you've been impacted by both types of loss, do you think it's different? Do you think it's not different? Like, what are your thoughts around that?
So, in the mix of it, I've had long-term, like I said, I knew that a singer, Jason Singer, he would, you know, eventually the ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, would ultimately affect him and would take him out. It was many days. We kind of prepared for it. He would try to help me while he was here. He was like, you don't worry till I worry. And when I worry, it's too late. So up until his dying day, I never saw a sense of worry, a sense of fear or anything. And so it helped me. But I can honestly say, like with him and my best friend, those were like terminally ill. Like, you know, you kind of know it's coming because of the diagnosis and the prognosis. But I can honestly say, like, even through it, even with these losses, I was in different stages in my walk with God. And so with the long term and knowing that these were going to be terminal things, that diseases that they had and they were eventually would pass, I always kept the hope and the faith that the Lord would heal them and that he would heal them here on earth. Mm-hmm. And so when I lost them, it did, it hurt. But in my mind, our cognitive mind, it was always good to say and know and feel like I knew that they were sick. It was like nobody specifically took them away. Now, you look and you say, okay, you think that, but then I have my sister that passes away who literally went in because she was not getting better from what she thought strep throat. And come to find out, my sister has a rare cancer. And the things that had been done, had been, you know, testing that had been given, it was never explained. You know, we didn't have the answers. So my perspective from these two deaths versus this death, it was very drastic. It was a lot of questions. Why? Why would you do this? And when I asked these questions, this was I was talking to God. And many people, oh, quit questioning God. No, the Bible tells us to ask and ye shall receive. So if I never asked him a question, I don't have a relationship with him if I don't ask the question. So I asked the questions, why did you take her? Why would you take someone? She was sweet. She was kind. She was loving. Why would you take her from us? And why would you take her like this? And so I asked those questions and I found it very, very, very hard for me. But in the midst, let me go back from 2018 to 2022. Let me say that I had matured in God significantly from those losses to her loss. Now, my grandmother, in 2021, my grandmother was older. She didn't have any like significant illnesses, but that was during the time of COVID, right? And so you knew that with her age that it would be, and that hurt. And if I had to be honest, I was in a place already of darkness from the other losses. And so when I lost her, I was in God, but I was wavering. My faith was wavering. And that loss actually pivoted me to get right. Okay? It shifted my posture. It shifted everything. So then when I took the loss with my sister, I asked these questions and understand some. When I took this loss with my sister, I'm literally, y'all, going in. Like, I'm all in with Jesus. It's me and him. We're taking this walk. I'm not looking at this one, that one. I'm not looking left, not looking right, not looking backwards. I'm going forward. And when I took it, it was like, why would you do that? And it felt like I was completely depleted. It, like something like literally ripped out of my chest, ripped out of my soul. But I found myself praising God. I found myself thanking him. I found myself, the Lord actually showed me his strength. He literally, like the scripture says that when we're made weak, he's made strong. He's our strength. He is our strong tower. That scripture is in the Bible. And he literally showed himself. He showed himself during that time of loss with my baby sister. So as I'm still grieving, sister, I get a phone call exactly a month to date of her death saying, your daughter's dad is passed. And even though we were cool, we were, you know, cordial or whatever, It still stung a little bit, more significantly for my daughter. But it still hurt because we just took a hit. We just took a hit. And then when I finally am able to breathe from the questions and asking and Lord giving me clarity and understanding concerning my sister and what he's doing in my life and what how he's raising me up as a woman of God. Then I lose Quentin of a sudden death of you just take his life. And I will be honest with you. I felt something out of me with my sister, but with my brother, that thing hit different. It was a total difference because someone took his life. And in that manner, it was a struggle. That one was a struggle. But in the midst of me asking questions and trying to figure out, I remain my posture in the Lord. Yeah, I remain my posture in the Lord there, but it was different. It was different from 2018 to 2023. It was totally different.
Yeah. So you mentioned, you know, the key, Kylie and Junior. I mean, as a parent, how do you help them process, their father's auntie, uncle, great grandmother? Like, how do you help them process that? I know they were different ages during this whole the years. How do you help them even? I mean, how do you start that conversation? I guess
it's so it changed from year to year with each experience that we had. Actually, my best friend was Nikali's godmother. So, and she was very active in Nikali's life. So I'm talking about when I say active, like, yeah, she was there. She was there. And so significantly, to answer the question, it was difficult at times. It's still difficult because children process things different than adults, and different characteristics or behaviors form. And you have to, as a parent, be able to outweigh what is this? What's causing this? What, okay, I'm feeling like this as an adult. So imagine being a 10-year-old or 14-year-old kid and saying, I've lost this, 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 and this. Something that I can't share with my children, and I thank God for this, is I don't know what it's like to be without a father. So, my grief experiences are a little bit different than my children, okay? We have to talk about certain things and come from different aspects and points when I'm talking to my children. I have to ask them questions sometimes. Well, how are you feeling? Why are you doing this? What is this coming from? And I thank God for the Holy Ghost. Because sometimes where children can't express themselves, the Holy Ghost reveals the experiences. So like when my daughter, when she lost her father, well, when she lost her godmother too, I asked her this question. I said, well, how are you feeling? I said, how you feel? Because I wanted to get into how are you feeling? And as a mother, what do I do? We recently now, all of us are, now because it has gotten to the point where it's like, okay, we got to get some help. So we're recently, doing therapy. We're now doing therapy sessions. Okay. We do have family conversations. And I do ask my children, you know, how are you feeling? What's your thoughts? You angry, you mad, you happy, you say, you got questions. And when children experience a lot of loss, depending on child to child, Jason is totally different. Jason is very vocal. And he will express, listen, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to do, I don't like this, and he's very vocal, okay? Nikali, on the other end, she has had to grow up with her mother. She's had to grow up with mommy. So I have to give her that space for her feelings, and I have to be honest with her. I have to let her have her moments. In some aspects. Also, I still have to be a mama too. But I have to let her have her moments because I understand that she has gone through every one of these griefs. She grew up with me, meaning me being a young adult, being a mother. She's had to go through my shenanigans, as a mother. Then we're having to go through this grief process. She's had to go through the different stages of life with me, being selfish, being unselfish, me finding my own identity and things like that, and her having to do that. So Nikali has been strong. She's been one of my strongest kids. You get what I'm saying? So she doesn't show too many emotions. So I have to do ask a bunch of questions, and I have to depend on my village. to help me with her. Now, Junior, he's vocal. He's going to let you know. I don't know about this, and I don't, you know, he's just one of those kids, but I try to do my best. And like I said, we're now going to grief counseling together as a family.
I applaud that. I applaud that because I feel like back in the day, you know, that was something that was taboo, was counseling and therapy and all of that. And just the openness you have with them, you know, to be able to, you're asking them the questions. How are you feeling? You know, well, let's talk about that. I think it's wonderful, Janae. I really do. I really, really do. I think that's good for them for sure. So, switching gears a little bit, I know we talk a lot about like the five stages of grief, which is denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. And they added two more recently, which is shock and testing. I sent you some homework on them if you had an opportunity to read it. Fine. If you didn't, it's cool too. But where do you feel like you are? Because all the grief you've talked about, the better question may be this. Have you ever experienced any of those stages of grief, and in what way did you experience them, maybe?
Girl, let's be real. Yes, have I experienced them? And I did do my homework, Tiffany. And it's funny because when you sent those questions and I read them, my first therapy session, she talked about that grief. She talked about that, the five stages, and we know that they have added two more to the stage cycle recently. And so we were just talking about them, and yes, I've been in shock. I've been depressed. I've been very angry. All types of emotions. And if we really think about the five stages, those are significant in a person's emotional state. And so I have experienced those. I definitely have. In each stage, each loss was different. But I want you to understand that in each loss, I didn't go through all of those. If that makes sense. Each death that has occurred in my life this far, I've had an experience to be able to go from one to this one, be in a state of shock to literally, I'm shocked, but then I'm finding the Lord is allowed, put me in a place to accept it. I found myself in a place where I go from denial, like, this can't be so, like, this couldn't happen, like, how did this happen? Like, the denial of the two accepting. Well, I took this loss, but let me be honest. My denial might have been a little different. I spoke briefly about losing my daughter's father. At first it was like, oh, I don't feel nothing. I'm cool. Like, you know, it was, I kind of was like, oh, you know, another, but I had to come back a couple months later and accept the fact like that thing stung a little bit here. It hurt, you know, it hurt. And so, and I had to give myself that apple of time because that was my first love. That was the first man I ever fell in love with. And to say, hey, it hurt a little bit. I wasn't expecting you to go this soon, you know? Going through the different stages, it has been challenging. I can honestly say with my most recent, recent two deaths, I really have saw the the grief chart. My counselor, she says, I don't see it as a circle. I see it more like a star. And when she said it like that, I was like, yes, because one day you can be in a mode of I accept this. And then the next day you might be in a bit like, but no, like you can deny it. Like you can really deny it. And then you might be in a state of where you're like, man, I don't feel like doing this today. Like, you mean to tell me you want me to get up and go do this? You want me to talk to these people about this? And I just did this. Or how dare you, Lord? How dare you allow this to happen? Like, and you find yourself not in talking to him in a unjustly, in a rude, or in a manner that is unethical, or in a manner that's unruly unto God, unto Christ, but in a manner that's saying, hey, here I am, I'm mad, I'm upset, and I don't understand why you're doing this, but you're telling me I need to get up and go to work? No. So the different stages, I have found myself in that. If I'm honest with the people today, I find myself in a couple of those stages. But my key to that is that I don't allow those stages. This is what I've been keeping in my forefront, is I know what God has done. I know what he has done. Mm-hmm. I know what he's done for me. Mm-hmm. I know that he has carried me through. I know that God has made a way out of no way. I know that he has done great works for me. I know he's been a strong tower. He showed me how to be strong in him. He showed me that when I'm weak, I can lean and depend on him. I have to be honest. I have been angry the last couple months. I found myself accepting Quentin's death. I accepted it. I actually forgave the person. Don't know who that is. Even if they're looking now and is watching this and decides that they want to be get on here and watch. I publicly accepted their apology without them even apologizing. I've accepted the fact that he's gone and he's not coming back. But I, because of the loss, I have become angry. In spite of that, I still depend on God. Now, the Bible tells us that we can anger but sin not. So the key thing to me in my process of me had been angry, I didn't turn my back on God and go do this. You understand? I was upset because I wanted to know why. Why did this happen and why haven't this happened? And so those are that's where I have been. I can say this, that I found myself, because I have a wonderful pastor. I thank God. I do believe that it's important that when one is going through, I've had a wonderful village. Let me just say that. I'm not going to go too far. I'm going to let you ask me the questions, but I think that it's important that as a people that we, that you have that good support. You get what I'm saying? You have that good support and that biblical support. And my pastor, when I didn't feel like reading my word, when I did not feel like praying, when I did not feel like fasting, when I didn't feel like A, B, C, D, F, G, what it takes to continue to be strong in God, she was there as my leader, as my shepherd, saying, I understand you feel like this. I understand this is the place that you're in, but you can't forget and undo what you know. And what you know, you got to go with what you know. And you can't go. And I would be like, I don't want to hear that. Like, because I might have been in one of those states of that cycle of grief. And I'm like, I don't want to hear that right now. I want to hear something else. I want you to, you know. But she stuck to that. And I found myself in this last month, I'm back in the word. I'm reading the word. I'm making the word be my strength. I traveled this past weekend, and I found myself on that plane in the word, and I had to allow it to be my strength. I had to allow it to be my strength. So, yeah, praise the Lord. We thank God that there's identifications of our emotions, but we don't allow our emotions to consume us.
Right. All of that was so powerful. I mean, from you talking about, you know, your support system, I know that your pastor is a mighty woman of God, and she gonna keep pushing you, keep pushing when you don't want to be pushed. But that's what it takes. You know, it takes that to keep us all on track, because God knows, Lord, I'm off track in so many ways, but it takes those people to keep pushing us. So I appreciate that perspective. And so going into that, the next thing is, you know, we talked about like a lot of your spirituality. I found that everything was affected in Quentin dying, like my mental, my physical, my emotional state, even my spiritual state. You kind of talked a lot about spiritual. Do you want to talk to the other three, the mental, physical, and emotional, if you've ever experienced that while you're having these grief moments, and how did you handle it?
So, like I briefly tapped on that each death, I hit a different point and was a pivotal point in life, right? I spoke on that in 2018. I was in God, and I had people surrounding me, but then I found myself coming in God but doing ungodly things. Okay. 2021, I was on a brink of running from the things of God, doing some things of 2020. I was in God there, but I was still doing some ungodly things. And each death, how it shifted my perspective of who God was. And then it did not shift in a way that it was bad. It made me want to get right and cling to Him. Each level, 2021, when I lost my grandmother, I will be honest here. I was in a backsliding position, a slot place already. When I lost her, I was already backslidden. That means I had walked away from the things of God. I was doing things that I had been delivered from, and I went back to them. And so in 2021, when I lost my grandmother, I was in a place that I knew what holiness was, and I knew what righteousness was, right? And it's going to answer the question here, mm-hmm. And how it shifted me. Yeah. I knew then when the Lord told me that I had to do something, and I'm sitting up here like, me do this? I'm what's his name, and I'm A, B, C, D, E, F, G right now. I'm not in no place to do this, and you telling me that this is what I'm going to do at my grandmother's service. So I had to take on the thing and say, okay, you're going to have to allow yourself a point to get back in the things of God. So I went through mental. I went through some mental fights. I went through the warfare of trauma. I went through the terrorizing. I went through the mental. You're talking about mental states. I went through the, am I worthy enough to do this? Who am I? Am I this type of person? Well, am I going to live? I've taken all these losses. Am I going to live? Your word says that you shall not die, but declare the works of the Lord. Lord, I know what you said on my life, but the way you taking people away from me, am I really going to live? You know, am I going to be able to come out of this? Am I going to be able to do these things? And so you want to talk about emotions. You want to talk about the physical. You want to talk about the mental, physical. I quit smoking. I quit doing a lot of things. And I picked up this. I picked up this. A lot of people, you always been skinny your whole life. Woo, girl, you done got a little, you know, little thick on the thick side. And I began to grief eat. So what happened was, with me grief eating, it caused me to, how do I say this? It caused me to stop in food. I would be eating.
Okay.
I'd be eating and wasn't hungry. So you talking about physical, that helped. That brought about a change. Not only that, with physical experiences too. Depression can cause you to affect your physical, because you don't want to get up. You don't want to do anything. So yes, I have experienced the physical and the mental experiences. And those are some of the things that I went back and forth. The first couple stages of death, going back and forth from old lifestyle to my new lifestyle in God, I battled with mental. Well, this makes me feel good, but I know that it wasn't good for me. Mm-hmm. So it's a difference. Right. And I battled with those early on. Let's just say that early on, because now those things it's not even a battle. But mental aspects of those questions are, am I good enough? Am I, you know, is this gonna, you know, or well, am I next? You know, those type of things would play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely understand. I think everything you're saying is the questions that go on in a lot of our heads. We don't have these conversations as people, as human beings, just as humans. We don't sit down and have like soul conversations like this. So I really appreciate your honesty in that. You tied into a lot of the next directions I was gonna go in that. However, so let me ask you this. What was your, how did you start the process of moving forward? Because every story you just shared is so different, but moving forward as far as even you mentioning like acceptance, like I've accepted, you know, that I'm not gonna see these people again. I've accepted this and that. Like, how do you get to that point? Because I feel like moving forward, a big piece of that is acceptance. So how did you get to that point, I guess, is the question.
One of my biggest scriptures, it says, if you keep your mind stayed on Jesus, he'll keep you in perfect peace. And I'll be honest with you, that was a pivotal moment for me. And I found myself going back to those scriptures each time. My biggest thing to go forward was that I had to take life experiences from my past. It might not have resulted in deaths or things like that, but I had to accept the fact that this worked for me when I did this. Going back to the advice and the wisdom that my pastor gave, you got to know what you know. I knew that in Quentin's situation, that in my past where I've experienced hurt, pain from people or things like that have affected me, that I also, that forgiving was a big key. Forgiving people when they should have been apologizing. The forgiving wasn't even nearly about them. It was merely about the moving forward and going in the things of God, because if we profess to be women and men of God, we can't walk around with unforgiving hearts. It's difficult for you to love people when you got all of this stuff set up in you. The keys to me moving forward was literally tuning in to the voice of the Lord, and the Lord saying, okay, listen, this is where we're at. I need you to do A, B, C, D, F, G. This last, you know, with Quinn's death, I told you that these last couple months have been rough for me. Why are you telling this and you're a woman of God? Listen, it doesn't discount who I am and what God is doing. But at the end of the day, I'm human as well, as we just talked about being human. And then understanding that God is still doing something, but I had to shift my perspective on who he, what he is doing. And I had to know what I know. And I had to stick to what I knew. And what I knew was that he's a deliverer. What I knew was that he forgave me. I might not have killed somebody, but I've hurt people.
Right.
I've hurt people to the point where maybe somebody wished they was dead. You know what I mean? I've hurt people that made them feel low of themselves. So if Jesus forgave me, why can't I forgive someone else? If Jesus don't harbor all my sins over my head, why do I continue to walk? Why would I? You know, and I'm speaking on this one with Quentin. Why would I? So that has helped me in a aspect to move forward and understand. You talk about those cycles, those points. Grief has different points and aspects. But what I've learned to do is that when it hits me, I go through. When I need to cry, I cry. When I need to scream, I find a place and I scream. When I'm mad, I'm mad. When I'm happy, I'm happy. And I've had to learn to go through, but I've had to learn to keep my mind stayed on him. I've had to learn to keep my mind stayed on Christ, not man, not the death, not how I feel, not how I want to feel, not even when I want it to be over with and done with and go through. But grieving is something you got to go through. You can't coddle that thing. You can't let it. You can't throw it in the back of your mind or suck it down into your, you know, because that would literally, it would affect you mentally, socially, emotionally. It can cause you to be sick. And so you have to literally keep your mind stayed on God. And that's how I've, telling you, Christ, I've stuck. Listen, the best wisdom I could say that has been given to me, my pastor gave me a whole lot of good wisdom. And understand, I'm not exalting her over God, because God is the ultimate reason for her being the way that she is. But as my mother in the spirit and being my spiritual mother, she have been there to uplift me when I didn't want to encourage myself. You know, and the best wisdom that this woman has ever given me was know what you know. Know what you know. I know God to be this, 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 this. I know him to be in that, that, that. I know him to have done this, 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 this. So I, in the midst of me hurting emotionally, this over here, this over there, this over here, I got to know what I know. And what I don't know, what I don't know, and what I don't know, it's not that I don't worry about it, but what I don't know, I can ask him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So true. That's powerful. That's powerful. Man, that was deep, Janae. So in the same vein, this question, what are some daily habits or practices you do to just keep yourself grounded and just rooted? Like just from a self-care aspect, just to keep yourself, like I say, rooted and grounded, honestly.
Girl, I done been through so many changes. Like I said, each one's different. We're going to talk about Quinn's death. When it first happened, I stayed in my word. I was stayed praying. I stayed asking questions. I stayed before the Lord. I'm going to tell you one thing I did. Listen, when you part of a, okay, if you're a member of a church or you're a person who, you should have people around you that can bear the infirmities of the weak. That's Bible. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing for me was my circle. I'm talking about my church family, the remnant. Mm-hmm. Listen, those folks, they family. When I tell you that support, that being able to bear the infirmities of the weak, being able to depend on your brother and your sister. See, I don't feel like praying today. I need, come on, let's pray. Oh, well, you pray first. And doing that. Bro, I'm feeling like this. Hey, well, you read this and you tell me what you think. Like, those things helped. My daily routines now, before, when I will open up my eyes, I'm going to always tell Jesus, thank you. Because guess what? My siblings don't get to wake up no more and tell them thank you. So I tell them thank you when I wake up.
That's right.
Even my days that I struggle, you all, and I don't feel as strong as the other. Understand something. I have a very small circle that I depend on. First off, my dependence comes from God. But I know that he has placed people in my life and also placed me in other people's life, that we are a helper to one another. And so what does my everyday life look like? It's busy. So I have to take out time to allow grieving to happen. Like, I really do. I really do. Because we can get busy with everyday life that we don't go through. And so I would say my biggest keys have been my family, my natural, my blood family. My first has been the Lord, which I've been speaking on that, so there's no question. My family.
Right, right.
Looking at them. And knowing that I still have to fight for them has been a big pivotal point. Also, my spiritual family, knowing that they depend on me and I have to depend on them as well, has helped me. Mm-hmm. And my work family, let me just be honest with you. My work family been solid too. Like, the guys at work, I'm a female and I'm only female in the building. But them guys have been big brothers to me and uncles. You know what I mean? Like, they stepped in and, you know, taking the load, you know, stepping in, being an uncle to Junior, being an uncle to Kylie, being a big brother to me, and, you know, being a little, like, they've been there, they've been solitude. And so those things are important. And to make sure that you keep solid foundation in God, that's the biggest thing. I can't keep saying that enough, because I can look at this one. I can call you, Tiffany. I can call Mama Ware. I can listen, y'all know I'm a daddy's girl. I can call artists, I can do all of that. Right, but right. One thing that I found through all of this since 2018, for real, y'all, is that word. It's that word, that word. And the enemy, I ain't gonna lie, the enemy wanted to pull me from the word of God these last couple months. Like, for real, really wanted to pull me from the word of God. And that's why I said it's important that you surround yourself around people who are in God, that are founded in Christ, because they're not going to steer from that. They're not going to steer from the word of God.
That's right.
And even when you don't want to listen to it, even when you don't want to hear it, even when you like, I get that. You saying read the word. You saying read the word. But right now, I don't want the word. What's the word going to do for me? And then you find yourself, you like, man, it was so much. It was easier for them to say it. And it might have been harder for me to do. But when I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And then learning to get back to consistency in it. That's me.
Consistency is everything. And like you said, the word is what's going to sustain us. That's so true.
And
it's so true.
I understand being disciplined in the even in the midst of this, because grief, I got the right to feel this way. I got the right to do this. You take on this. Well, I got this right, but in Christ, the only right is Him.
Yeah.
Because He's a gentleman.
So
He will allow you, but He will also get you through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's one of the things I'm learning. I gotta get a better relationship, because your brother talked about this all the time, and it's crazy how a lot of your feedback today, just with our conversation, is a lot of things he's mentioned to me before, and I'm like, yeah, but like now I'm like, I gotta actually apply this stuff. And like you said, you gotta walk through it. Like you can't avoid it. I've tried. You can't, like, it's like, this is now life. And so, yeah, you got to walk through it. And if you got to have God, nobody else can do it for us.
Yeah.
So true.
The one that you live in God.
Yes. So when we think about purpose, Janae, do you think you've identified your purpose in life? And if so, if you want to share, feel free to do so. But I just, yeah.
I know I laugh, and they probably like, why is she laughing? Why is she laughing? Okay, so I'm not going to go into too much detail, but the Lord has spoke.
Okay.
You know? And
Going
through is pivotal for the purpose. You understand? You can... And I understand something that, let me just give you this example. We talk about pain of purpose. When an olive has to go through a process in order for it to produce oil. And
right.
An olive has to grow. It has to be rooted in a branch. So there's this root. Mm-hmm. There's a root. The root has to take place. The tree has to grow. The tree has to make branches and leaves. The olives form.
Mm-hmm.
Once the olives form, they're ripe. You pick them. You have to crush them. You have to beat them. You have to do all of this just to get oil. Just to get old.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to function and carry the oil. Okay? To be able to obtain the oil.
Right.
Why is she talking about oil?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why did she pick that? Because, see, when you are a woman or man of God and you're anointed to do things, there's a anointing that you have to go through. There's a process that you have to go through for the anointing that you're called to. And the process is of the olive and the process of how the oil is produced. So my pain has to, the pain has to purpose me for the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And when you say yes to the things of God, you say, yes, Lord, I'll go. Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord, I will. Yes, Lord, I'm going to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to stop this. Lord, I'll live and I'll live for you. I'll die for you. I do these things. Understand something, that your yes comes with something and it's going to cost. It's going to cost. Mm-hmm. And you don't know what you're going to go through. I've been saying it since the beginning of the podcast. I've been saying at the beginning of the podcast that each death shifted me to another place in God. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Each death. 2018.
Yeah.
Listen, Tiffany, 2018, some people would have been and gave up. They would have gave up on the first one.
Right, right. You right.
And so, yeah, my pain. It's gonna push into purpose, and the Lord will get the glory out of it.
I see it already.
The Lord will get the glory.
You just dropped a lot of gems. You did. I see it happening already. As we wrap, yeah, this has been like church, Janae, because I didn't get to go today, so. This has definitely been like church. You done fed my spirit, my soul, everything. But if your life could have a soundtrack or a song, you know, your brother was all into music, so I try to cater a lot of this stuff around him. What would the soundtrack of your life be, or the song of your life be?
Girl, I got so many. I had a many of them processing through my head as you was like, music. I'm like, man. What we gonna do, but you don't know my story. Yeah, and all the pain that I have gone through.
Yeah.
But I can say this, that would be it. And I'm not no singer, so yes, I did do that on purpose for y'all, because I can't sing. But and my brother would have been like, be quiet, girl. Okay. So thank you, sis. Thank you. Okay. So, okay, just a little snippy. Okay. Don't ask me to come and sing, y'all, because I can't. But, and that's another part of me. I'm very funny. So I like to joke a lot. So, but that's one. But Ty Tribbett has a song. And that it was funny because the day before Quentin passed away, I played this song on repeat. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about when I say I play that thing on repeat over and over and over and over. It wasn't until after that I realized what them words were speaking to me. And it says, anyhow, I'm going to praise you. Anyhow, no matter what, the devil, it said the devil even got, the enemy got me thinking that my faith is counterfeit. Oh no. Like, it spoke, it was speaking in areas that I was going to hit, but anyhow, I'm on praising. Anyhow, I'm on praising. And so, yeah. If I had two, those would be the two that I would pick. That's my life.
Gotcha. And it's so funny that you say that, Janae, because I remember when y'all sister passed. Quinn told me, he said, when Janae called me Tiffany, I was praising God. He said, you know what? I ain't even stopped. He said, I kept singing and I kept praying and I kept da da da. So it's funny how just alignment, you know, he was the same way. So that's interesting how all that worked for it. That worked. That's wild. So I know we wrapping up. I thank you for your time, Janae. I want you to promote what you got going on. I know the kids got everything. They got their own business. They entrepreneurs. Like, what y'all got going on?
So, yes. Listen, God doing something. But that's... Yes. Thank the Lord. I ain't gonna drop all the gems and all the nuggets on what God is doing. I'm moving in some silence, but right now we have Kylie's Beauty Bar. My daughter, some of you know, she is 14 years old. She is a licensed braider. Mama is an entrepreneur, and so I definitely pour entrepreneurship into my children. So she is a braider. Honestly, she threw her mama some little knotless in, you know what I'm saying? Look, you know, quickly for this podcast. So she did my hair very quickly. And she is an entrepreneur. She also has her own brand, Nerdy Girl, which will be dropping here in the spring of 2025. We also have Little Junior, who is our CEO of Nerdy Boy. Little Junior has his own clothing line. And he had made the decision that after Uncle Quentin passed away, that we would take a little break. But understand something, the break is not over. It's not that we quit. 2025, we will be coming back full throttle. No quits, no stops or pauses. So please be on the lookout of that. Also, mommy's working on a couple things as well. And in due season, the Lord will allow me to reveal those things. So we are excited that even in the midst of grieving, in the midst of certain things that have come in adversity, the Lord has been a strong tower. He's blessed our family. So if you want to get your hair done, you got your babies, your children. Also, let me make something plain. My baby's 14 years old and she does nails as well. Not licensed, can't be licensed yet. But when I tell you she's slaying, she's slaying. So no, mine aren't done yet. But she does her thing. So those are the things that we have. You will see a few pieces of Nerdy Boy throughout QT's Surviving Grief. We're gonna drop Auntie Tiffany likes to support her babies. She does. Something Tiffany, she gonna support her nieces and nephew. I'm gonna say that. And so mama slack this time, but you know, I got my sister the next time. But you can find Nerdy Boy on Facebook and Instagram, Snapchat, and you can follow us to keep posted. Website will be dropping here in the in November. We also will be setting up shop, not revealing the location just yet, because we're gonna let God work out some things. But be on the lookout for that release here, even at the end of 2024, where you can come in physical aspect and come and shop with Nerdy Boy.
So excited to hear that. Oh, this is gonna be amazing. Yes. I'm about to be the first one in there shopping, doing a big grand opening and there. Oh, that's so exciting. Oh, man. cool. Well, we going to wrap up, but I do got something real quick before we do. I've had so many people reach out just like wanting to donate this, that, and the other. And I had a First Watch gift card donated. So that's going to go to you. Number one, I want to thank you for coming on and just being so vulnerable to talk about all of this, because this is a lot and we are very much still going through with Quinn and then with everything else as well. I just want to say thank you for coming on. I wouldn't have had it any other way. Like I was praying and I'm like, please let it be somebody that I need, somebody to come on, family, somebody that can help boost and get this thing started. So I just appreciate you. And yeah, I'll get you your first one. You touch back now, you'll get your first watch gift card. So hey, any last thoughts before you. We sign off? You're welcome. Well, any last thoughts
before I just sign off? Again, I want to thank you for having me on here. Those that have watched, those that have viewed, I really, really want to admonish you. If you don't know Christ, if you don't know Jesus, if you haven't allowed Him to enter, if you haven't allowed Him and welcomed Him into you, into your heart, to your mind, I admonish you to do that. You're looking at someone that has experienced, that is still experiencing grief, but I haven't always been this focused and love the Lord the way I love Him. And so I'm going to admonish you that if you don't know Christ, find your place where you can find your church home where you can find Christ. Get saved. Being saved ain't about you just being baptized. Get saved. Be sanctified. That's right. And know who He is. And find Him. Find Him. Allow Him in. Because where we sometimes think, I found Jesus. It's not about a finding Jesus. It's about just welcoming Him in. And just saying, huh, here I am. I done tried this, and this. There's nothing else I can do. Those that are experiencing grief right now, they're still experiencing grief. No matter how long, nobody can tell you how long grief and what grief looks like. No one can tell you how long you can grieve. Nobody can tell you those things. How do I know? Because I'm experiencing it myself. But what I can tell you that go through it. But allow God to be your focal point and don't rely on man's word. Allow man's word and man's theory for your healing, because man and theory will fail us. But the word of the Lord is sure. It's never changed. It never has changed. And He's always come through, and He will continue to always come through. He said, "Lo, I'm with you unto the ends and the days of the earth." So this is the thing. If He's with you, He's there right with you right now. If you haven't accepted Him, I admonish you to accept Him as your Lord and Savior on today, within your heart and your mind.
Well, there it is.
And thank y'all for having me, okay?
Yes. And so I'm going to end every show. One thing Quinn used to say, all is well. And then I'm going to add on to that.
All is well.
Justice shall prevail. Thank you so much, Janae, for coming on today.
Yeah.
All right.
I love you. I love you, bunches.
Love you, too. Yes. Have a good week, everybody. And we will get tuned in next month for the next episode to drop. Thanks so much. Bye.
We hope that today's episode has encouraged you and helped to identify strategies to navigate your grief and begin the process of moving forward in life. Grief Tribe, Healing Vibes. What were some key takeaways from today's episode? Drop a comment below and remember to like, follow, and subscribe.